is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com. Proudly nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Googs. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just weird, Anthony. Me and you.
I know, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, Dom couldn't be with us this morning as we're recording the show on a Saturday morning. You guys are hearing it in Sunday afternoon. As Dom will be technical directing one of the Bronx Vision games for ESPN for the Rider women's game. We're proud of Dom. I'm actually going to be working that game with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So right after this, I'm going to hop on over there and go do what I ever need to do, whatever Foster needs me to do, I will do. But yeah, Dom just wanted to go there and get some extra practice and just get ready because he didn't want a crash course.
Definitely.
And Sean's on, Sean Johnson time again.
SST. Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking of it, but it's true. Sean Standard time.
Yeah.
It's just a thing.
Yeah. But we got a lot to talk about. A lot of interesting stuff has happened over the past week. Obviously the James Harden trade, went down this week, kind of shook the NBA, by storm. We also have some Yankee news to talk about. They finally made some offseason moves. We'll talk about that a little bit. The NHL was back this week. The Rangers played the Islanders. Wasn't the best start. So Noah will give his take and what they need to do and how they can improve going forward. And finally, NFL divisional round is this weekend. So we'll recap on the wild card and, you know, we'll look ahead to the Sunday matchups as, you know, Tom Brady and Drew Brees will face off, and which will likely be the final matchup together as Drew Brees will likely retire. And the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns will face off in a interesting matchup as, you know, everyone's, you know, favoring the Chiefs. However, the Browns do think that, you know, they can upset them as the Chiefs kind of coasted, you know, towards, you know, the playoffs, never really blew anybody out, especially in the last 2 months of the season.
100%.
So we'll get into that. But the James Harden trade that shook up the NBA, it was a big move. James Harden was really distraught with the Houston Rockets. He came into the season kind of a little chunky, you could say. He was a little overweight. He started getting, you know, the Santa Claus nickname thrown around and stuff like that, but he was still playing really well. However, he wasn't being a team player. He was being very distant to John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins. And he went on record and saying after 9 games into the season that, you know, it's not working out. I've done all I can for the city. But I think it's time to move on. A lot of people took that personally and did not take that very well. DeMarcus Cousins came out on the record and saying like the disrespect was happening way before that interview ever took place. So prior to it, you know, probably when he signed and when John Wall came over. And also Shaquille O'Neal stated on Inside the NBA on TNT that, you know, he doesn't buy what James Harden said. The city did everything for him. And, you know, he didn't produce with them. So right now I'm going to play you a little excerpt of what Shaq had to say on Inside the NBA.
Shaq, you got a problem with how James Harden forced his way out of Houston?
Yes and no. One is the business of basketball. But, you know, when you say you gave the city your all, that ain't true. And I'm about to say some things. And keep in mind, I have G14 classification to say these things. You asked for Dwight Howard. We gave him to you. Didn't work out. You asked for Chris Paul. We gave him to you. You asked for some shooters. We gave it to you. We asked for Westbrook, your homeboy from Little League. We gave him to you. Didn't work out. And when you say I gave you everything, I say no, you didn't. Because the last 5 games, when it comes to elimination, you're 1-4. You've been shooting 41%, 24% from 3, 32 assists and 27 turnovers. I used to be like James. I used to come home and complain, man, he didn't do it. And my father, rest in peace, Sergeant Philip Harris, used to say, but what the hell did you do? he ain't do nothing. He ain't step up when he was supposed to step up. So, you know, when you're the man and you make all the money, you make 30, 40 million a year, it's a big responsibility. Chuck has said this many times. When you're the man, you got a big responsibility. It's all on you. So when it come time to show up, he ain't show up. So I know a lot of people in Houston glad he's gone. So now he got his little super team. He got to win this year. If he don't win this year, it's a bust, period.
So that was Shaq's take. And it's kind of a true take. I mean, you know, Noah, what Shaq said and how, like, you know, they got him Chris Paul. They didn't do anything. They got him Dwight Howard. He didn't do anything. At one point, they got his best friend Russell Westbrook from the Thunder. They couldn't do anything, and they eventually shipped him off a year later. So, I mean, what does this say about James Harden, you know, as a teammate during those years, and what do you think he has to do in order to get over the hump and ultimately now in his career win a championship, as he has all the money in the world at this point right now?
Yeah, I mean, what else does he really have to prove other than winning a championship? That's the goal now for I would think for him, and it just seems like, I don't want to say he doesn't care, but the way he showed up this season, not being ready. I mean, look at how he, you know, what he was, you know, going from. He's big. He's not in shape. And yeah, you're right. He's still playing good, but I just think it's his game style. I think it's how he plays. He's all this ISO and he's looking for the shot first, and he doesn't really play defense. It's just, he would never be somebody that I would think is a great teammate just because of how he plays the game. But the way that he's going into this next journey, you know, with the Nets, he has a shot with Kyrie and with Kevin Durant. If Kyrie can just come on the court and actually play the game and not get in trouble and not have all these issues, this is a team that has a chance. And I have seen a lot of people hate the trade and hate that the Nets get James Harden and give up Caris LeVert and, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't like it. But what's the goal? Winning a championship. And I think that this team can do it. But obviously we saw to start the season that they're already struggling just with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving here and there. So they need to figure stuff out. But again, I just think that as a teammate, James Harden needs to put the team first. It seems like it's all about what he looks like and what his stats look like, and it's just not how it's going to work. And as much as people can get on LeBron, he becomes a team guy. You know, why do you think he has four championships? He's figured out a way to put the team first and win. So I want to hear your take on what you think of the trade, because I mean, I've heard a lot of people do not like it as Nets fans. So I wanted to see what you thought about the overall trade for you.
Yeah, I mean, at first when I saw the trade, the one thing that I didn't like about the trade off the bat was I saw Jared Allen's name come across the screen as he got traded. I was like, crap. Because he was, you know, I liked him, homegrown guy. I watched him get drafted. Mm-hmm. I watched him develop. And he's really turned himself into a, you know, and I wouldn't say an elite center, but a very above average center that can get, you know, your 10, 15 rebounds a game, provide, you know, very solid defense, and just does whatever the team needs for him to do to win. So when I saw him, you know, get traded, that disappointed me, because it's now only up to DeAndre Jordan and, you know, a lot of small ball with Jeff Green possibly playing the five and Kevin Durant at times, yeah, as that was rumored going into the season. So Sean Marks has a lot to do to, you know, try to solidify that interior D and get another setter. I did hear Dwayne Dedman was on our radar, as we do have some money due to the Dinwiddie injury, you know, and with some spots available. But, I mean, I got PTSD from 7 years ago, if you remember that ridiculous trade that we did with the Boston Celtics, and we kind of mortgaged the future. It blew up in our faces, and, you know, we were terrible for the next 4 years, and then we had to build ourselves back up. Then we get KD and Kyrie. All is looking well. The future's bright. We have picks. We have stars, and we have young young stars in the making. And then, you know, I think it all had to do with, I think Sean Marks was afraid of Kyrie Irving and his antics. You know, as we stated, you know, he went off the radar You know, and this kind of all happened right after the unfortunate events that happened in D.C. And everyone was like, was it because of that? No one really knew what was going on. Turns out they say he just didn't want to play, which is unacceptable, especially in our society right now, where people are scrambling to find money and get jobs while this man's making millions of dollars and just doesn't feel like playing. Because he has that luxury, and that's just very disappointing for me to see, not only as a person in our society, but just as a fan of basketball. If you have the privilege to play this game, you should play and play your heart out every single night. Regarding if you have an injury or a personal matter, obviously you shouldn't play. Yeah. But other than that, you should be on the court, no questions asked. So I think
it seemed also like it was because of the COVID stuff. Like, didn't he go to a party or something?
Yeah. He was at a party with his sister. And he violated. And obviously it's his sister, you know, but don't get me wrong. You are violating COVID protocols. It's a party. It's not like she was sick or there was a family matter that he had to attend to. It was a birthday party. And so you can't skip five games just to do that. So, you know, he has a lot of explaining to do over the next week and just, like, why he did it and stuff like that. He's probably going to give some nonsense, you know, just some ridiculous excuse as to why he missed games. And then he's going to kind of say, oh, I'm so glad to be back with Harden, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I do think that, you know, I mean, look, offensively, are we elite? I think we're the most elite offensive team in the league if everybody plays their role and plays their role to perfection. And if Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni really get them clicking, I feel like we're unstoppable. And I know there's rumors, but there people have also been saying about us how, you know, Kevin Durant goes from the Pass Brothers, or, you know, he goes from the Splash Brothers to the Dribble Brothers. So, you know, that's another thing. But look, I mean, how can you not be happy with James Harden coming to your team? I know the Sixers were involved. It was between us and them. But I feel like the Nets really pushed this, I think, because of the fact that Kevin Durant is there. Apparently once this trade also happened, they said that months ago they were trying to get this going, try to team up, even though they're like, oh, I don't want to, yada yada yada, but obviously they knew deep in their minds that they wanted to play together. You know, and James Harden is back with Mike D'Antoni, his former coach of the Houston Rockets, so he does know how to coach him and how to manage him and what his play style is, so he can help Steve Nash in that regard. And also another thing is that, you know, all three of the guys' contracts end on the exact same year. So in a sense, it kind of, you know, even though the Nets do mortgage the future, once their contracts are up, they have a lot of money to spend, and their payroll really opens up and they become very flexible. So, and Sean Marks is he's a savvy GM. I feel like he's one of the best, especially what he did for us and getting us to this point. So I feel like he'll make, in these next couple years, he'll make a lot of trades, a lot of, you know, low-key signings, and, you know, try to find some more diamonds in the roughs in the drafts like he did with Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, who are unfortunately no longer with us, as Jared Allen is now part of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which just, I don't like it. I saw a picture and I'm just like, that doesn't feel right.
You think about it. I mean, that team, you know, a couple of years ago, D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, like all these guys were just homegrown young talent. And then it kind of gets blown up, and rightfully so, for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Like, it's pretty awesome. It's just, it's interesting to see what the team could have been if that nucleus kind of stuck together. You know what I'm saying? I just think that would have been interesting. I have one question for you, though. You know, James Harden's so out of shape and everything like that. Do you think he gets to Brooklyn and he starts to get back into, you know, his regular physique, kind of? Like, do you think he gets right back in shape? Like, what is he going to start to look like during the season?
I don't know. I mean, look, I mean, we're already in the season. You know, I feel like he's going to have to, I hope he does. I don't know if he will, because of how selfish he can be. And, you know, the rumors and stories I've heard from former players and league sources about how he conducted himself in Houston at one point. And it was due to how much power he was given by the executives over there, because they gave him the keys to the team. So I hope he gets back in shape. If he doesn't get back in shape this season and he still plays well, I'm okay with that. But I do expect him next year to get back in shape. Because look, he's not 26, 27, he's 32. So, you know, as a human being playing this game, you know, you want to be in shape, especially in, you know, as you start to age, you know, and you know, I start to age in this league, because Father Time, you know, it comes at you and it comes at you quick. Now, obviously, it hasn't come at him yet, nor has it come at Kevin Durant or LeBron James. But at some point, it does hit them at some point, but we just don't know when. But we got to take a break. You know, when we come back, we'll talk about our New York Yankees and the two big moves that they made and what moves they need to continue to make in order to make ourselves a World Series contender once again in 2021. You're listening to The Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of The Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com live from the Ryder University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano, and alongside me today is No Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Googs.
So,
I think that was better.
Yeah, it was better for sure. It's hard. Like I've always said, you know, when we're in different spots, it's always hard to match it up. I think we got it once because I think you guys started a little earlier before I came in, and then it worked. Something like that.
Anticipation. Yeah, you have to anticipate what's coming.
Yeah. But so in the last segment, we talked about, you know, kind of the NBA, obviously the NBA trade that kind of shocked the league, which was the James Harden trade, and also to discuss a little bit about Kyrie Irving and his antics and what that meant, not only for the Nets, but also for the trade itself. But we had some baseball news. Obviously, we've mentioned that the offseason in baseball has been rather sluggish. Only a couple of teams have really made big splashes, one of them being Dom San Diego Padres, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Last week, the Mets made a big splash with the trade for Francisco Lindor. And, this past couple of days, the Yankees have made some moves that are very pleasing for Yankees fans as they have finally reached an agreement with La Machine, DJ LeMahieu. They have signed into a 6-year deal worth $90 million. And then later that day, it was confirmed by Jeff Passan and from Talking Yanks, Jake. That he somehow reported that Corey Kluber was coming to the Yankees. So I don't know how he got that information. I have a feeling that, you know, those guys, they're very close with like a lot of the big names in the league. But props to them because they're kind of this, media company that these two, that John Boy and Jake started, and they kind of grown. And so they're very good friends with Jeff Passan and Ken Rosenthal and all those guys. So I feel like they gave it to him so like, he can do it. I have a feeling that's the only way that he was able to get that story. But props to him. So he announced it first on all media platforms. But yeah, Corey Kluber is now a Yankee, signed to a 1-year deal worth about $11 million. So it's not terrible for a guy of his stature. He did come off of rather two disappointing years due to injury, one of them being a freak forearm injury he suffered in 2019. And then in 2020, the shortened season, he had shoulder surgery and really was a non-factor in the Corona season. But
go ahead.
But to start off, we'll start with, you know, DJ LeMahieu, a 6-year, $90 million deal. This was a deal that was, you know, kind of rumored to happen for a while. However, there were talks at some point that the Yankees were being standstill with him and not giving him what he wanted, and DJ was getting a little bit upset and was going to begin talking to other teams as, you know, nothing was happening. I think the Yankees didn't want to give him a lot of money, but they wanted to keep him. But due to his age, as he will be turning 33, I believe, in July, that they didn't want to really give him, you know, kind of this ridiculous deal. And DJ, however, even though he is older, they do owe him in a sense that we got him for a bargain, and he overproduced that contract. So I feel like it was like, okay, you guys owe me now for what I did, which is fair. So they reached an agreement. If you look deep into the numbers, it's a 6-year deal. Now he'll be playing into that contract until he's 39. Yeah. However, it's a, you know, it's only $3 million up from what he was earning the last two seasons. So it's not that big of a deal. And plus, kind of at that point, you kind of can, you know, it is a deal that it is team friendly in a sense that you can move it if need be, in terms of you could split the cost with the team. They're like, hey, I'll pay half of you, pay half, which is around like $7 million. That's not going to break the bank for either team. If a trade were to happen in the near future, not saying it will, but it's a great day for Yankee fans. We all wanted him back. It helps us out, you know, financially and flexibility wise to get more players, and also helps DJ out as he gets that 6 year, which he wanted so desperately. So no, I'll go to you and I'll give your take on DJ LeMahieu signing.
Very happy with Friday as a Yankees fan. It was just waking up, seeing your text. And I think the exact text was like, we got him, or
I said he's back.
He's back. And this is how you know I knew exactly what you were talking about. Yeah. I said DJ LeMay is a Yankee. I'm like, yes. Six years, $90 million is an absolute steal. There better be some incentives that whatever DJ is able to do during his, you know, the rest of his Yankee career, he better get something, because he really gave up some money that, and I know it's COVID time, but he probably deserved more money than that. But he took the deal. He knew he wanted to play in New York. He's going to get great opportunities because of it. And I'm just so happy because, you know, Derek Jeter is everyone's favorite Yankee, but like, and I love Derek Jeter, but DJ LeMay is one of those guys who's just, he does this job on the field. He's not causing problems like a guy like James Harden or Kyrie Irving. Like, he just gets his job done. And that's what I like to see. I love having a guy like that on the Yankees. He's calm. He's cool. He's collected. He's best in the best moments when we need him. So it's just really great as a Yankees fan. I mean, Anthony, you know how much I love this guy. Like, he's one of
my favorite players. Go get that jersey now.
Oh, listen. That jersey that I have, a DJ LeMahieu shirt and a jersey. So, like, I didn't waste my money. Okay. Yeah. That's the best news of all. but I'm really excited. I just want to make another point about the John Boy and talking Jake thing. I think it's really impressive that they were able to get it. You know, the MLB is in a position where they can utilize these guys that have some underground popularity. Like, if you're listening to people and hearing people, what they talk about when they're a casual baseball fan, when they want to get into it, a lot of people mention John Boy. So I really would like to see the MLB take advantage of that, use clips from baseball games and stuff like that. Like, one of the most popular clips I've seen is the one where Terry Collins is yelling at that ump and cursing him out, and Tom Hallion, the umpire, comes in and tries to, you know, break it up. Like, those are the things that the MLB needs to utilize more. Those are the things that will get the young fan base into it, because guess what? That's what you need. But that's a little diatribe. But the DJ LeMahieu deal is great. Corey Kluber, I really like it. I think, you know, I read a lot that Corey Kluber just wants to prove himself. He just wants to go out there and pitch, and he hasn't really had that chance. The Rangers, you know, gave him that opportunity, but he kind of fell with some injuries and the COVID season, and everything just kind of fell apart. But I think this could really be a comeback season for him, and I'm really looking forward to it. And now it's just about what the Yankees do now. Do they go get Tanaka? Do they go get Casilla? Or, you know, where are they going to go from here? Because I think they do need one more pitcher, starter, reliever, something in that vein that can really help out this team. I don't think they need to worry about Michael Brantley. I don't think they need to worry about the lineup. Mm-mm. I think we're cemented. We're in this position where we're deep enough that we can make a run. I think pitching is where needs to be at. And I think you said it yesterday. It's not, if they get Tanaka, it's not elite necessarily, but it's enough to get the job done, and it's better than what we had last year.
Yeah, for sure. Because also, you think about it this way. Look, the Rays are kind of in rebuilding mode. They traded Blake Snell. You know, this is what the Rays do. The Red Sox aren't even there yet. I heard that they might make some pretty big moves. I don't know what they're going to do, but they might make some moves that could blow up their franchise. And then you have the Blue Jays, who are kind of on the come up, but they're kind of not there yet, as, you know, their young guys are kind of still in development, because Vlad Jr. really hasn't come into his own. Kevin Biggio is still kind of struggling. The real guy that's really kind of progressing each year has been Bo Bichette. And their pitching staff is kind of suspect besides Hinge and Ryu. So, you know, they do have some stuff to work on. And obviously Baltimore, they're way down the line. They have a lot more things to work on. So this is kind of, you know, the Yankees are in a good position to win, for sure. So I feel like Cashman needs to make a move, whether it be signing Tanaka again, getting him on a one-year deal, because I do know he wants to come back. He's kind of said it publicly. If they were to trade Luis Castillo, which that has been rumored more and more now as a trade with the Cincinnati Reds, I could definitely see that happening. I could definitely see Michael Tauchman being part of that deal because people have been calling about him and asking for him because, you know, the Yankees, you know, we don't really use him. He's not really in our off-field rotation anymore now that Clint Frazier's kind of, you know, shown up and he's kind of coming to his own now. I feel like the rotation now, it's like it's Stanton, Judge, Hicks, and Clint Frazier. And, if, you know, and if Brett Gardner were to come back, he'd be obviously in that rotation as well. So those are kind of four of the five guys in that rotation, you know, in that outfield. So I feel like Togman's, you know, unfortunately got the short end of the stick there, but, you know, he could be a good trading piece for them. And obviously you said before, you know, during our breaks, where, you know, trading prospects, whether it be Austin Wells, Anthony Volpe, if it has to be Devy or Clark Schmidt, okay, I'll only give up one of them, don't give up both. But yeah, I mean, if we could get Castillo and then maybe sign like a Brad Hand, cause he's still available. You know, he, you know, I feel like we could, you know, I feel like that'd be great. And, you know, Cashman, you know, could really, you know, turn his faith around in Yankee fans. I remember at one point, you know, we'll kind of wrap up with this, for the segment is that, you know, he kind of was looked like everyone was getting annoyed with Cashman, taking so long with this LeMahieu trade. You know, saying that, you know, he's going to want Aaron Boone for the long haul, even though Aaron Boone really hasn't really done much with the team he's had. So if he does this, he's kind of going to turn the Yankee fans around in a good way.
I agree. I think he needed to make some moves, and he finally did it. And now the Yankees are looking up, and I think that I think the American League is wide open, and the Yankees are the best team in it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, because with Houston kind of shoveled, you know, George Springer's a free agent. He is likely not staying. He's going to leave. And if they lose him, they are really in a hole. Justin Verlander is not going to be ready. Their pitching staff is in shambles. So they're kind of a hot mess in themselves.
It's right the now. Twins, I think. Yeah. It's the Twins and the White Sox, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's literally just us and those two teams in the Central. That's really it, especially what Cleveland did with trading Lindor. So you know, it's exciting for Yankees fans. We're really pumped. I might have to go out and get a LeMahieu jersey after this trade because I do want a Judge jersey, but we don't know where he stands yet. I know that he did sign an arbitration deal with them, $10.7 million.
I saw that.
I think he only has one more year, or this might have been his last year, and then he goes into free agency. So, I mean, you know, he's up next, so they got to they gotta figure something out with him.
I just want to say one more thing, too, about LeMahieu. I better not hear people 4 years from now when LeMahieu's fallen off maybe a little bit, even though I don't think he will. This deal stinks. Shut up. Shut up.
Yeah. Like, it's not.
Dummies.
Yeah. It's, yeah. yeah. Like, yeah. be I happy mean, now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. As long as we're on the same page, $15 million a year is chump change. For that guy, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, relax, and he's tradable too. You know, he's versatile. You know, I feel like the way he plays and the way he hits, it's sustainable. You know, it's like it's Jeter like sustainability. Where at age 38, he was leading the league in hits. Ridiculous. So I think he has that capability as well, for sure.
100%.
But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into some NHL talk with the New York Rangers, talk about them. And as you know, Noah, and I believe Sean's going to, you know, join us for the next two segments as those two look ahead for the Rangers. And, you know,
he's going to make a mystery appearance. An appearance.
Yeah, surprise appearance. He's finally woken up.
We've woken the sleeping giant, Sean.
Yes, we did. But we got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these underwriting announcements on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Ryan University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson. He finally decided to wake up and join us. And
here.
Noah Gugliotta.
Finally here, guys.
Or otherwise known as Googs.
Googs. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Sean, you finally woke up, decided to join us. Perfect timing, I should say, as we're just about to get into your New York Rangers and some hockey. I unfortunately did not watch the game. I was busy that night. However, the Rangers did play the Islanders It wasn't the prettiest opening night for Rangers fans, but, you know, I feel like, you know, you guys can kind of break down the game, give your thoughts and what the team needs to do, you know, going forward into their next matchup. And also, if you guys have any other, you know, notable hockey storylines that you want to mention, you know, please do. But, you know, Noah, Sean, the floor is yours. Take it away.
Okay, so I'll just so the Rangers had a tough loss Thursday night, 4-0. I know Sean, me, Dom, we're all watching. It was the first two periods especially were rough. Well, the first period specifically because Rangers gave up 3 goals. Shesterkin, the 2 goals in that first period were really rough. But it was just not a great game. It's a young team though, so I don't want to. It shouldn't cause too much concern. This is the year that Lafreniere and Keandre Miller really need to, you know, and even Kaapo Kakko need to just develop and become the players that they obviously can be. Sean,
and even Shesterkin really too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right because he didn't play a ton last year. He kind of came halfway through and then was playing awesome, and he needs to just settle in. But Sean, who honestly, just kind of take us through the game, like what you thought of certain players who didn't play well, who did, like what needs to be improved. And obviously they're playing, we're recording this Saturday, they're playing later tonight, but this will premiere Sunday. So what needs to happen?
All right, so obviously I'll start off with Shesterkin. As you mentioned, it wasn't the game of his life. You know, like we've said, this is a young team, so we're not expecting anybody that's, you know, really young in the team to come out super hot into the season. And, like, this is a really weird season, you know, with everything going on with COVID, obviously. The fans in the stands, you know, we got weird schedules and stuff like that, so... You know, we'll let our rookies and our, you know, our younger players kind of just get into a flow of things.
Yeah.
Like, as you mentioned, a lot of the shots that went in were pretty savable. It was a little rough. But, you know, that comes along with time, with experience. He had a great season last year, but he only played like 12 games.
Yeah.
So now I'll get into some of our other younger players. Now, I wasn't able to watch the entire game. I missed a little bit of the first period because I was on my way to Buffalo Wild Wings at the time. So I missed like 2 of the goals.
But, okay.
Yeah, I did see that one goal where Jack Johnson got absolutely put through the ringer.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. I mean, brutal. Jack Johnson's a vet, so, you know. It's somebody that you'd like to see kind of perform kind of good. And it was his first game as a Ranger as well. So,
yeah,
I mean, again, we'll give him a little time. Honestly, with this team, the only thing I can just say is that, you know, don't judge them off the first game. That's really all that
I agree.
Mind.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think you have to give these guys time to mature. And I think your point about Shesterkin is really well made, like well made. We saw him in kind of a snippet of a season. He needs more time to develop. Like, this is not somebody who's, you know, 30 and in his prime. He's just kind of, you know, gaining in his career and making something happen. So we have to give him time to, you know, to mature and start to really develop into the goalie that we expect him to be. I do know Alexander Georgiev is starting Saturday. Obviously, again, we're recording this Saturday, so we won't know the result or anything. And then I did hear that Tony DeAngelo is not supposed to be starting. Well, at least in practice, he wasn't in the defensive pairs. It was Jack Johnson was with who was he with?
Because they
changed all around. Like Trouba was with Miller or something like that, but Brendan Smith had taken over for Tony DeAngelo, so we'll see what happens there. It's just, listen, to me, I think, again, you have to remember that they only had like 8 practices. They're new in the season. They need to have a couple games under their belt. Hopefully they play better against the Islanders, who just looked pretty much better in every aspect, but They'll figure it out. It's frustrating because both you and I, Sean, know this team has a lot of talent and are young, and it's like this untapped potential that they have.
Exactly.
They just need to get into. So, and then one last thing. Okay. So what do you think, Sean, is the goal for this season? I know, you know, playoffs, who knows if that's really plausible. Like, what do you think is the goal for this team this year and this shortened season?
So really quick, I'm not exactly sure how the playoffs work this season. Isn't it a little different than usual?
Yeah, I'm not totally sure either. I'll check. Go ahead.
I might have heard that like only the top few teams from every division go in. I'm not sure if they're doing a wild card. So it's going to be very tough, especially in a division of like very good teams, like the Penguins. You got the Islanders, obviously, which we saw yesterday. The Capitals are good. So, you know, they've a young team here has a very tough schedule ahead of them. And we played them 8 times as well, each team. So very, very difficult. But I'd say, you know, I know last year I was saying, okay, next year is the year for us. But then again, looking back at that, we still have many, many young players. So again, we have a lot of rookies this year that are, you know, that have a lot of potential, like Lafreniere and Miller.
Yep.
But then we also have some like second year guys that also have, you know, potential that are still growing, still going to get better, like Kako, Shesterkin. Yep. So, I don't know. I'd just say getting more experience is the goal this season.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's kind of like, whatever happens, happens. If we make the playoffs, cool. If not, like, you know, it's just good we're getting players on the ice.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Because, listen, I think it's easy to see this first game and then automatically assume nothing's going to happen this season. But I wouldn't do that. I think you're right. Like, it's just about getting the experience. And if the playoffs come from that, that's awesome. But this team has potential. Offensively, I think the sky's the limit. It's about coming together defensively and really locking down a good plan and protecting your goalie. I mean, listen, Shesterkin did only have to make 33. He faced 33 shots, which is not awful. Like, I mean, the Rangers had to be better defensively, especially in the first period. But I mean, Shesterkin has to make some of those saves, and I think he knows that. So we'll see what Georgiev is able to do. We'll see what the team is able to come together to do. But
have to realize this, though. The team last year didn't get off to the best start.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only reason we made the playoffs is because, number one, you know, the rule that made like pretty much the entire league, but like 4 teams make it to the playoffs.
Yep.
And then also, I mean, we were I'd probably say we were one of the hottest teams going into the second half, or in the second half, we were one of the hottest teams Definitely. In the NHL. So I'd say our second half made up for our first half last season.
Yep.
Who knows? That could happen this season.
And you said, there were some injuries too. Like, I know Kreider went down with the, you know, I think it was the foot, and Zibanejad was down for a little bit. So there's some things that need to be figured out. But
Shesterkin got into the car accident.
With Buchnevich. Yeah, exactly. That's right, so yeah. It's like there's a lot going on, but yeah, we'll see.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So that was their take on the Rangers and, you know, overall what they expect, you know, going forward. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with the NFL divisional playoffs. As you know, we have 2 games that will be played this Sunday. We'll give our predictions as well as recap from last week on our picks that we had from the wild card. All that and more coming up on the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
TheBronc.com. Live from the Ryan University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Oh.
All right, so
I was gonna say, oh yeah, but you know, I couldn't tell if we got it done.
Yeah, see, that's what sucks about, you know, doing it all remote, yeah. Because, like, you know, because of the delay and all that good stuff. But yeah. To wrap up the show, NFL talk, divisional playoffs are this weekend. The wild card wrapped up last week. As you guys know, if you listened to the show last week, we did give our picks for the Sunday matchups. I believe I was the one with the losing record. I went 1-2. Because I picked the Titans, and I also picked I picked the Colts, and I also picked the Steelers.
Right. Okay.
I picked the
Steelers. So you picked the Ravens then? I don't even remember.
No, I picked the Titans.
So you were one. Okay.
Yeah.
But you picked the Browns then.
No, I picked the Steelers.
Oh, so then you're 0-3.
No, I picked the Saints.
Yeah, that was a gimme, that one.
The Saints.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
The Saints.
I'm forgetting what games we're playing. Because I told them, like, I did this playoff pool where, you know, you pick each game. And I actually went 5-1 in that playoff pool. So I was on fire last week. Wow. I didn't pick them on the game on the show. But the only one I missed was the Titans Ravens, which was so frustrating, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But so do you want to start with picking the Saturday games then?
Yeah. So obviously, okay. as our listeners know, you know, we are recording this on Saturday morning. So therefore, you know, we are picking the Saturday games in advance to what's going to be happening. So you'll hear this on a Sunday. So obviously the two games that are kicking off on Saturday are the Rams at the Packers. And the Ravens at the Bills.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yep. Real quick, since we really can't talk much about these games, we're just going to pick them. Obviously, I'm going to go with the Packers. You know, I feel like, you know, with what happened last week with the Rams, with Goff having to step up with his, you know, thumb that's currently healing, and with Donald possibly out this game, we'll wait and see. I feel like the Packers, and with rest with the Packers having that week off, I feel like it just gives them that much more leverage going into this matchup. So give me the Packers, and you know, I got to rock with the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's on another level. Him and Stephon Diggs has this crazy chemistry that we haven't seen in a while. Besides, you know, Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, but I think this one's a little bit more special because, you know, these two are connecting on all cylinders, whether it be from the red zone, deep pass, short pass, whatever. And it kind of came out of nowhere. No one really thought that this would happen, and it kind of did. And it's great to see. So I really want the Bills to go far. So I got those two. Noah, I'll go to you next. Who do you like on these Saturday games?
All right. So first game, 4:35. I like the Rams. Okay.
Okay.
I'm picking the Rams. I like them defensively. I think they'll figure out a way to stop. Well, not stop, but I think they'll curb that offense and come up with a win. And then I'm going to pick the Bills. I think this is a really close game, Bills-Ravens. I think it's going to be back and forth, and I think it'll be really close to the finish. So, but I'll pick Rams-Bills.
Okay, and Sean?
Okay, so the Rams were one of the biggest shocks to me last week. I mean, this Rams team was one that struggled in the regular season against not very good teams. I mean, yep. They lost to the Jets. They almost lost to, like, nearly everybody in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Almost lost to the Giants. They almost lost to the Cowboys. I mean, like I said, going into this playoffs, I thought they were, like, the one imposter team. Like, I thought the Washington football team were better than them, in my opinion. But, I mean, they shocked me. They shut me up. Regardless, I still think that the Packers are going to win. I think they're just all around a little bit better. I think the Rams are a little bit defensively better. But, yeah, I don't think that's going to be enough to stop the GOAT, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
One of the GOATs, at least. And then when it gets to Baltimore versus Buffalo, I'm still not entirely sold on Baltimore. Again, we've really only seen one good game out of Lamar Jackson in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But I do like the Bills a little bit better. As you said, you know, Josh Allen's just on fire with Stephon Diggs. So don't know. They're the hotter team, in my opinion. I think they're going to win.
Yeah, and I think they're the more complete team, because if you stop Lamar's running game, you know, they only have so much to do. And you are right. It only has been one game from Lamar, and it was last week's game where he kind of had his great playoff game. But that was last week. It wasn't last year, and it wasn't 2 years ago. So he's got a lot of growth to do. So yeah, I totally agree with you. But to get the more important games at hand, I think these matchups are probably a little bit more better, a little bit more funner to watch, which are the Sunday matchups. Kansas City, you know, taking on Cleveland. They are home. They're trying to become, you know, back-to-back champions. The quest begins on Sunday. You know, personally for me, you know, unfortunately, I got to go with the Chiefs. I feel like, you know, obviously they're the most loaded team. I know that Le'Veon Bell is going to get a lot of the reps in the run game, as, you know, Hilaire is still injured, which I think is like a hip leg injury that he sustained a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I had people say, oh, I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to, you know, be the guy that he was in Pittsburgh. But I don't think that's the case. I feel like he will show up because, you know, he is, I mean, yeah, has he not performed like he did in Pittsburgh? Yeah, but I feel like, you know, he was with the Jets. It was a weird offensive scheme, as Noah, you know, knows and has blatantly told us on the show many times. And I also feel like he's been the backup too, so he hasn't gotten a lot of reps. And, you know, he's not as integrated as into the system as like Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, where they share the reps. And also that passing game is just lethal in more ways than one. So I got to give it to the Chiefs just because of the more weapons they have. And then in terms of the kind of the last matchup we'll ever see between these two, you know, Bucks, Saints. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm gonna go on a limb here. I'm gonna pick the Saints. I feel like Breeze has a lot more to play for. Many of us know, he's probably gonna retire. You know, Alvin Kamara, best running back in the game, period, all around game. And they do have Michael Thomas back, you know, who can provide a lot more for this team, could really open the field up for many players like Kamara, like Cook, and Taysom Hill. So yeah, I'm gonna go on the limb here and pick the Saints, and they could go 3-0 against the Bucks if they win, because they did go 2-0 in the regular season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I like the Saints in that game. The one thing I'll say though, if the Bucks can make it to the NFC Championship game, I think they're Super Bowl bound. I really do. I believe in them, but I think for this game specifically, I think the Saints are gonna take it. And then the earlier game, Browns Chiefs, I think the Chiefs are just too good offensively. And the one last thing I'll say, Baltimore, the Bills, I picked to win, but their defense is really good, and I think they might give Josh Allen some issues. So it'll be really about the second half. Can the Bills make the adjustments needed to win the game? But those are my picks, the Chiefs and then the Saints for that game. But I think the Saints-Bucks game could be a really good one.
All right, and Sean, your picks for Sunday game for the Sunday games.
I'm actually a little surprised, Anthony. You said you were going out on a limb.
I thought you were going to pick the Bucks.
And yeah, then you picked the Saints. I feel like the Saints is the easy pick there.
I feel like you go on a limb because, you know, Drew Brees isn't kind of what he was. Michael Thomas has only really, this is his third game he's playing this season. And also the Bucks are the hotter team. You know, Brady's QBR ratings through the roof. He's getting everybody involved. You know, that's why I'm going out on a limb, you know, and saying the Saints. I mean, yeah, did they beat the Bears? Yes, but kind of everyone knew that was going to happen. But yeah, I feel like a lot of people, are going against the Saints and they're picking the Bucks. I've heard that a lot on the ESPN show that I produce for. You know, we had a guest on the show, and, you know, people are going, a lot of people are favoring the Bucks over the Saints going into Sunday. So that's why I'm saying that, just because of what the public's doing.
That does make sense. But yeah, then also in the regular season, the Saints did kind of stomp the Buccaneers both games, right?
No, yeah. No, yep, they did. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I could definitely see your point. But getting into the first game, Cleveland and Kansas City, again, I think this is the easiest game out of this slate of games. I feel like Kansas City is the clear winner there. I mean, they're defending Super Bowl champions. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Mahomes, I mean, their connection is just, it's crazy. It's better than anything I've seen in a long time. I mean, if you can't go to Hill, I mean, Kelce's like, he's he's this generation's best tight end for sure. And I don't even think it's close. Mm-hmm. Kittle's very good, but I mean, Kelce, man, in fantasy, he's just like a guaranteed like 25 plus points. Like, oh my God, I would hate going up against him. But anyways, yeah, so my pick for that game is the Chiefs. And getting into the last Sunday game, Tampa versus New Orleans, I feel like whoever comes out of this game is going to win the Super Bowl, regardless of it being New Orleans or Tampa, and I'm going to go with Tampa. I think Brady's going to get another ring here. It's just playoff Brady, man. He's very good. I think it's going to be an upset, but then again, it's a little, questionable who is supposed to win this game going into it. But regardless, I think Tampa is going to win and Brady's going to get his seventh ring.
Yeah, and if that happens, it'll just be it'll be absurd, and I don't know what people are going to say about him next. It kind of is, you can't really debate it anymore about him. It's kind of, if he were to win, I'm not saying he will, but if he were to win, the debate's closed. You can't talk anything negative about him or anything like that. If he wins either this year or next year, the debate's over. It's case closed. You know, chalk it up, write the end, and you know, put it in the history books.
I agree 100%.
I do. Yeah. But yeah, so I like the picks. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you all for tuning in. Noah, Sean, thank you guys for coming on so early in the morning, especially you, Sean. I know you're not a morning person. But you had to wake up not only for this show, but you do have a game to broadcast.
Sorry for being a little late there, but as I say, better late than never, right?
No, that is true. That is true for sure.
Exactly.
But that's going to do it. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can, @thesports_fever. Twitter, the same exact handle. And you could give us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. That's going to do it for this episode. Be sure to tune in next week at 12 o'clock, only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes every Monday at 1 to 3 on 107.7 The Bronc and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.